setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you get there. If you haven't figured it out, that's a whole lot of you. And the show is about your contribution, your purpose at work, your why at work. We believe simply that you were created to fill a unique role in and through your work. That means you are needed, and that means you must do it. It's not an option. This pursuit of meaningful work is not just a, well, this is a really great journey that I think you should consider buying a ticket for. No, you have to do it. Why? Because somebody out there in this world needs you to be the best version of you. Your why is not about you. It's about others. That's the idea. That's why we all ask ourselves at some point in our life, why am I here? What should I do with my life? Because we long to make a difference in the world. This is what really unites us. And I want to help you change your view of work, that it's not just something you do to live, but that you should live to do work that creates a result that matters deeply to you. And the reason it matters to you is because you see the positive impact it has. That's how we view work. So let's get after it. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Now, folks, if you're new to the program, there are seven stages. There's a path. There's a clear path that I teach that gets you to meaningful work. Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, and give yourself away. And on the phone in Brighton, Michigan, is Jen, who's calling in to do her dream scream, which is what we offer you when you land in your dream job. We want you to share the story. And then at the end, you get to yell, I'm living the dream. And Jen is going to join us. It's my favorite type of phone call. Jen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I'm super happy to be here.
I am so excited about this story. So what were you doing previously to stepping into the dream job?
Well, my career took lots of different paths, but my training, my formal training was in chemistry. So I managed labs and I taught chemistry, and then I became a stay-at-home mom. So lots of different things going on, but I was working in chemistry and teaching.
And how were you feeling? What was the vibe like doing that work?
You know, I really love working with students, but the environment, the culture, I felt stuck. I felt hopeless, and I also felt really unappreciated in some aspects.
So what's the dream job? What did you step into?
Well, I had always enjoyed working with students one-on-one, and I had thought about doing some sort of advising and counseling role. So academic advising was really what I wanted to go after. So that was what I really wanted to do.
That's awesome. And so you're doing that now. Are you doing that on the high school, college level? Where are you doing it?
I'm doing it on a K-12 level, so I'm advising all sorts of different ages.
That's so fun. And we've heard that come up a couple of times, that the idea of working with students and really that that role is advisor, and the work that you love is advising and guiding.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Exactly. How does it feel now? Like, contrast for people what it feels like now. Let them hear it.
When I was working in my other role, I felt exhausted after work. I felt like I had no energy. And now when I come back from work, I feel excited, energized. I look forward to starting the day every morning. I'm super thrilled to be setting up appointments and talking to students. And it's just, I'm so happy and content with where I am. Like, this is where I need to be.
That's so fun. You know, one of the things I don't ask a lot, and I'm glad I thought of it, because I want you to talk about this. I want you to describe how quickly the week goes now versus how it used to move along before. Is there a difference to you? Can you see a difference?
Oh, definitely. I don't even know. It's Thursday, right? I think that's Thursday. No, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday,
See,
yeah.
I don't even know what day it is when I'm doing my job because the time goes so quickly.
Yes.
I don't keep track.
Yes.
When I'm in my zone, I can go a full day and forget I had lunch. I didn't have it.
Yeah.
I don't know where I am.
I get it.
I'm just working and focused.
It's so
awesome.
True, isn't it? And the contrast is when you're in a job that just sucks the life out of you, it feels like it takes a week to get to 2 o'clock on Monday. It's just the absolute opposite, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's different job for everybody out there. And so I think I felt like I should be doing something, but it doesn't mean you should, even if you're qualified.
Yeah.
It's really about what your fit is. And I think that's really why I feel like the day goes super fast now, because I'm in the perfect fit.
Yeah, it's so great. Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps all over me. This is fantastic. So here's what I want people to hear. What did you do? What you've listened to the show, you listened to the show. To my knowledge, you never called in before. Is that correct?
No, this is my first time
That's
calling,
awesome.
First time on the radio. So
what
thanks
did
for
you,
being kind to me.
You bet. Well, this is why I do the show. What did you do? I want people to hear you're listening to the show. What changes did you make to start this process, to get into the dream job?
Sure. So for a while, I kind of had these ideas mulling around, but I wasn't sure. And so I remember years ago when you first started the show, I started listening and I started really focusing and being intentional about what it was that I was passionate about and where my skill sets were and finding that intersection and being really concrete in terms of what steps I needed to take in order to get the kind of role I wanted to have.
Uh-huh.
So all of those things, you know, I could realize that the experiences that I had, all of the jobs that I've done, provided that backdrop and information for me to use to springboard into my new career. And whatever
that.
I didn't have, whatever I needed, I realized I had to create some opportunity for myself by being in that proximity of where people were doing those things.
Yes. So, I love it.
Yeah.
So what would you say to folks? We've only got about a minute. I want to give you time to do your scream. So give 30 seconds of encouragement to people right now that are listening to your story and they're going, man, I want to be where Jen is. What would you say to them? They're not there yet.
Okay. I would say do not be afraid to try something new. I went on ZipRecruiter. I used all sorts of different searches, and I looked at what felt right. I looked for jobs, not what I could do, not what my skill sets were, but what my gut, my heart, my, you know, just belief looking at that resonated with me.
I
really listened to that. And your dream job is out there. It is there.
It is.
You might not think it's there. And all the things you're doing culminate to where you want to go.
All right. That's preaching right there. We got to give you time to do your dream scream. All right, here we go. Jen from Brighton, Michigan, doing her dream scream. Let's hear it.
3, 2, 1. I'm living the dream.
Woo! Yeah, I love it. It's so good. I just want everybody to feel that. Did you feel that? I mean, she just threw her head back and took it up a couple octaves. Because that feels so good. Hey, your dream's next. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Hey, I want to tell you, I'm so excited. We're getting more and more emails and replies from you who are using my friends at ZipRecruiter. If you're thinking about changing jobs, and a lot of people still are, there are so many different avenues, connections, strategies that you can use. And one of the best one is a free resource like ZipRecruiter, one of the top hiring sites in the United States. They do all the work for you. Once you fill out a profile, they are another strategy. They are your full-time recruiter pitching you while you're going about your life and letting you know of opportunities that are really easy to apply to with one click, and you stand out because you're coming from them. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Let them help you out. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you move from paycheck to purpose. There is a clear path to doing what you were born to do. If you're new to the program, number one, welcome. Number two, know that we believe that every man and woman on the planet was created to fill a unique role in and through their work. That means you are needed, and it means you must do it. There's intentionality as to your talent. Everybody's born with talent, things they do well. Everybody's born with passion, work they love to do, and everybody has a missional sense about them. They're born with mission. They want to make a difference. And so that's the conversation we have, because life is too short to just work a dead-end job and to look at work as something you do to live. You can actually make the income you need and the impact you want at the same time. So stop heading into Monday just trying to power through until Friday. It's not what you were meant to do. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Albany, New York, where Jane awaits. Jane, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, it's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Jane. What's up?
Thanks. I had the COVID in January. And since then I've had cognitive issues, making mistakes, forgetting things. And I made a mistake at work, and I'm waiting on a second, discipline. First discipline, what happened was, they said that I left a safe open and, unlocked. I'm supposed to lock it at night. They said that I left it unlocked, which I don't remember. And there was about $900 in there. And it's inside a locked room, so it wasn't accessible to everybody. But I made this mistake, and they did an investigational first with HR as a discipline. I work for government. And I'm having such a hard time trying to. It's been 2 weeks. I'm trying to get through. I'm trying to concentrate on my work, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like me telling my kid, when dad gets home, you're getting a whooping, and you're just waiting on it. It's awful, right?
Exactly.
Of course, I should stipulate, I don't tell my kids that, but that sounded like my life. That actually came out of the page of young Ken's life, Joe. You know, I could hear my dad now going, "You did that to your brother? All right, well, when you get home, you know." It was, that's the old days. Nobody does that anymore. But anyway, by the way, just a point of information. My dad would make me go out and get a switch off the tree. You had to like go get it off the tree. And that was the thing you knew you were going to get a couple smacks with. It was awful. So waiting on that punishment is killing you. I get it. It's awful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let me ask you this. Was the $900 gone?
No. So, it's inside a locked room. And it wasn't touched. It's inside that locked.
All right. So
room.
The good news is the money didn't disappear.
It's locked up.
Yeah. So that's nice. The money didn't disappear. So therefore, they don't think you're dishonest. This was like a. You don't even remember. You don't even remember anything about it. So we don't need to unpack that. This is not great leadership. You know, they've done an investigation on this, and I guess it ended 2 weeks ago, and they still haven't told you.
Right.
Have you any sense of what type of reprimand you're going to get?
Well, based on our union contract, they're supposed to give me a written first, but they could push it all the way to termination.
Based on this thing?
Yeah. It could go any of five disciplinary levels between a counseling up to termination.
All right. So what's your question for me? I'm up to speed. What can I specifically help you with?
What do I do if... Do I fight back? Do I?
No. Well, I think there's two things. Have you talked with HR recently about this since the investigation has come to a conclusion?
I haven't wanted to say anything because I'm worried that I'm going to push them into doing something that I don't want them to do.
Okay, great. So here's the deal. When they come back to you, if they were to terminate you, let's just do worst case scenario. If they were to terminate you, I would want to get everything in writing. And I would ask them to verify, in fact, that the money was not stolen, the money was not gone. See, that's really important. I think it's one thing to leave a safe open in a locked room where $900 was and to get reprimanded or fired for that versus the $900 disappeared. See, one speaks to as simple as, and I'm speaking of me, not you. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing I would do because my mind's in the clouds all the time. It's a normal thing for me. I don't ever know where my own dadgum keys are. Am I right, Joe? I mean, how many times, Joe, you've worked with me the longest, have I left my keys on your desk talking to you? I walk around the office for an hour here looking for my keys with my fob. And Joe's like, you left your keys on my desk. So listen, if anybody understands you, Jane, it's me. All right.
Oh, good.
But there's a big difference between you leaving a safe open in a locked room and that being the thing that they fire you over or reprimand you over versus the money being gone on top of that. So now people start to question your honesty versus I was distracted. Mm-hmm. So I would get it in writing that the money was not lost. The money was not stolen. It was all there. And I think you move on. Okay. I don't think somebody's going to not hire you over something like this. I also am believing they're not going to fire you because I feel like they would have done that 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. Listen, if there's anything I will never understand, it's how government operates.
Yeah, me too. And I've been with government for 15 years.
So here's the deal. If for some reason they terminate you, you go get a doctor's note that you had COVID, that you had some cognitive stuff, go get that for your file. Get a written letter from them that this is why you were terminated. They got all these government reasons. Get it all in writing, and you got that. And then it just shows that you, at best, were airheaded. I don't think that's the case. at least you had a senior moment or a COVID moment. Let's blame it on COVID. Everybody else blames stuff on COVID. Why don't you? I just don't think it's gonna stain you.
Okay. It's my worst fear because I'm halfway to my retirement.
Yeah, but listen, have you had any other issues with this government agency?
They like to create little ones. Yeah.
So you've had other issues with this current boss and this current agency?
Just little things like they have to redo my spreadsheets because they don't like the way I wrote something. Or I have a master's degree. I'm not dumb. I know.
So here's the deal. I want you to throw your shoulders back for a second, Jane, right here on the phone. I want you to sit up wherever you are. I want you to sit up tall and I want you to throw your shoulders back. Okay. And I want you to say, I have a master's degree. I am a good person and I have something to contribute. I want you to just say that.
Okay.
Say it.
I am a good person and I have something to contribute and have a master's degree.
Yeah. I think you kind of need to remind yourself because here's the deal. The way they're handling this is awful. This is pathetic leadership. Mm-hmm. I would love to turn the tables on these scoundrels and make them stew for 2 weeks over some disciplinary thing. Let them see how that feels.
Right.
Makes me angry, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I got some righteous anger right now. Leaders, stop treating people like they are machines. Jane's got feelings. 2 weeks over an unlocked safe in a locked room in the night. Let me tell you what I would do. Jane, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to preach for the rest of this minute before I go to break. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
You got this, Jane. Listen, there's no stopping you. You do it exactly what I told you to do if they terminate you and you're going to be fine. You use relationships. Hey, let's make sure she gets a copy of the proximity principle as well. That's a gift from me to you, Jane, because those relationships will get you anywhere you need to go. Now, listen, leaders, when you got to discipline somebody, do you realize that the sooner that you can do it, the better? And be clear with them. Say, hey, Jane, you left the safe open and $900 are in there. Now, the good news is I can understand how that could happen. Your mind was somewhere else. If this COVID thing actually is affecting your cognitive abilities, I get it. The $900 wasn't stolen. It was in a locked room. Hey, what can I do to help you? This can't happen again, but let's be okay. Hey, how about that, leader? 2 weeks to stew over discipline over that. Shame on you. You're an awful leader. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help men and women get clear so they can get qualified. We help men and women get connected so they can get started. We help men and women get promoted so they can get the dream job, to be able to give themselves away, to work and live on purpose. It is possible to make money and experience meaning at work. It really is. 844-747-2577. You know, it's always freezing cold in these studios. I mean, it's so cold that I could hang meat in here. And nobody understands it until I walk out and shake hands with people. And then I always have to apologize because my digits are frozen.
That's my fault today. I'm sorry.
Did you turn it down?
I did. I'm sorry.
My goodness. Well, here's the deal. It hit me because I'm wearing a hoodie today. I'm wearing a Bethel Tech hoodie, longtime partner of the Ken Coleman Show. We have almost 50 people from our audience. There's a lot that have signed up for their 9-month program, less than $15,000. You go from zero experience to qualified for great tech jobs. You ready for this? Making $75,000 or more and on your way to six figures. So they sent me a great sweatshirt and it says, "You belong in tech." Now, here's the deal. I don't belong in tech, but I'm wearing the sweatshirt that says "You belong in tech" because I love Bethel Tech. But you don't want me in tech. You feel what I'm saying, Alex? I belong right here. No tech. Joe does the tech. He turns the mic on. He turns it off. I barely am allowed to touch the buttons, which bring people on the air. So let's go. George is in San Francisco, California. George, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, my man. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
We actually come from a similar professional background before you're doing what you're doing, in Virginia. I wouldn't do that much to know that.
Okay.
So I'm an evening law school student, and during my final year, I work full-time as well. I'm married, debt-free on 3B.
Yeah.
Looking at next steps. I'm balancing essentially current opportunities in California that are, pretty good, versus my desire to leave the state. And, with the bar exam, it's a little bit more difficult, obviously, than, normal employment to just kind of pick up, leave, try it out. So I just wanted your opinion on balancing, current opportunities within California that are good versus my desire to kind of start a family with my wife in the next couple of years out of here.
Well, let's just play this out. This is really simple. You have a desire to leave California. I could spend an entire show probably talking all the reasons why you won't leave California. We got people coming to Tennessee from California like crazy. I get it. But it's almost like you're going, I've got good opportunities in California versus I just got to get out of California and put down roots somewhere else, but I'm not going to have any good opportunities there. And it just doesn't square. And I know you're not saying that, but that's essentially what you're saying. So, you're getting out of law school when?
May.
Well, why can't you decide, hey, we're going to go here, somewhere else in the United States, and we go, all right, we're going to make that move. We're going to do whatever we got to do, and I'm going to pass the bar, and then I'm going to be a very attractive candidate and be able to practice law where we want to put down roots. What am I missing?
I guess, kind of putting the cart before the horse. It's hard to pick up and move without, a committed opportunity. And I have been utilizing proximity principles to, get me networked and have that process started. But I guess it's just a little intimidating to, commit to another state's bar and move without something definite and certain.
You have to forgive me because I may be missing something here. You get out of school in May, and let's say you start looking for things, and I'm just making this up, and let's say that there's a firm in Tennessee that you're interested in and they get interested in you. Well, so they offer you a gig and you go take it, then you have to pass the bar in Tennessee. What am I missing? Isn't that what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, essentially, but it's just, I guess it's hard to get traction as an out-of-state candidate when there are other in-state candidates that, are committed to taking, that state's bar.
Okay. So, okay, it does. So now we're back to, and by the way, you're educating me, so you'll have to be patient with me. You're going to have to then commit to go, okay, I'm going to get out of law school
and we're going to go move to this state, and I'm going to lock in, and I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get something. I'm going to do something. You've got to commit somewhere, because here's what happens. If you take some great job opportunities in California, can you stay there for a year or two, or are you going to be miserable? Okay, then I think you do that. If what I'm hearing you say is it will be easier for me to transition from an actual job in California, as opposed to I got to go and lock in and then try to earn my way in. Is that what I'm hearing?
Pretty much, yeah, exactly.
Well, then, yeah, as long as you're not miserable, you're not like wanting to pull your hair out, and it's affecting your quality of life, your relationship, then yes, I would take the really good opportunity in California, put in a year, but I'd be looking the whole time. I don't think you have to stay there for 2 years. I don't think there's there's no certain amount of time you have to stay. I think if you get hired, you're a hot shot, you get a great job in California, and then you start connecting and you make some connections in another firm, and in Oklahoma says, we want you, and you want to go, then go. Yeah. So yes, now that I understand all the nuances, I think it just comes down to where you want to suffer. and listen, I'm not, I laugh because I was like, I know how that sounds to him, but let me explain that a little bit more. I don't mean like, you know, misery suffer, but you're not thrilled about staying in California another year or two. Let's be honest.
No.
All right. So what I mean by suffering is whatever the negatives are associated with that versus the negatives of uprooting, going to Tennessee or Oklahoma or wherever, right? And then going that path, it depends which of those you're most willing to suffer through. I think that's our choice. And so it's really not my advice here. I don't think there's a wrong decision.
Yeah, no, that's I think, the problem.
Yeah, but here's the deal. So can we just say this? I've been reading this book. I think it's called The Secrets of the Mind. I read so many books. I got about 8 books going at once. So you folks have to forgive me. I'm going to talk about it on the show soon. But anyway, here's the point. It's co-written by a physicist, and they did some research, and they put heart monitors on world-class chess players during these are master chess players, okay? And George, you got to hear this. They put heart monitors on these players, and they looked at the data when it spiked. They were monitoring when their heart rate quickened, when it spiked. And every time before they made a bad move, an incorrect move that ended up penalizing them, their heart rate spiked. Now, that's fascinating enough, right? You kind of go, well, what's going on there? Their body was trying to tell them that it was a bad move. We as humans, we say things like, well, come on, George, just trust your gut. And you go, is that really a thing? So I'm going to put you to the test, George. Is trusting your gut a mythical thing that we say, or is it really a thing? Should we trust our gut? What do you think?
Definitely trust your gut.
Absolutely. And the research says it. Here's why. That study, that particular test, proved it. These guys and gals are master chess players. It's all about thinking, logic, 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 logic. And sometimes we separate logic from the gut. And what the study came to say was the logic, their brains had told them it was a bad move, right? But they got kind of inside their own brain, and they're like, well, I don't know. And then their body went, you're not listening to the brain. Stop. And the heart was racing. And had they listened to their heart, they would have avoided a bad decision. That's a really long-winded way for me, because I'm trying to teach the audience, not just you, George, that here you've got two decisions. Neither one of them is a bad decision, but one of them's better than the other. You need to listen to your heart. Do you hear me?
Yep. Nope. Good advice.
There it is, my man. You're a good dude. Man, the best is yet to be, George. Go, go, go. All right, folks, that music means my time is almost up. But before I let you go, remember this. You matter, and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruze, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruze Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruze Show wherever you listen to podcasts.